The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You may be seated. This text before us is one of those that we have where we see Peter so relatable. He's a relatable guy. He's one of those people in the Bible that you read and you hear what he says and does, and one moment you're in awe of his words and eloquence, and then the next you're putting your palm on your face and you're embarrassed for him. He's always on the move. He's always in the thick of things. And sometimes his actions move quicker than his mind, and he ends up seeing why thinking first before acting or speaking, it's a pretty important thing. Peter's more of a shoot and ask questions later kind of guy at times, or should we say, cut off an ear first and then survey the situation. Just ask Malchus about that one. So Peter goes from very high to very low very quickly in this regard. You see this, though, the thing about the Bible is it's true. These were real people. These were real events that happened. So is it any wonder then when we see characters in the Bible like this? Peter had these high points confessing Jesus when he said, "You are the Christ," and the next minute he's being called Satan by the very Lord he just confessed. He's a real person. That's people. He's relatable. And you know, you think about your own life at times and it's no different. Sometimes it's all in the span of a single day that goes from a faithful confession and then the next minute, well, it's far from it. Pastors are not excluded from this either, and often we suffer from foot and mouth disease on a regular basis. People are fickle because you and I still have the sinful man hanging around our necks. And it goes just beyond words and actions, but extends as well to how we see Jesus when we're left up to ourselves. Now, not long before the end of Matthew 16, St. Matthew the Evangelist recorded for us, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. So here's Jesus, and he's telling them what must happen. It's what he came to do in order to redeem his people. This is all, however, counterintuitive to what we might think or even want when thinking about how salvation is accomplished. So Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and now then, right after this, Jesus teaches the disciples he must suffer, he must die and rise again. So Peter said to Jesus, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance, or literally a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So here then today is Transfiguration. Peter is present again. So after the great confession, after the stern rebuke from Jesus, we are told by Matthew, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So now this glorious sight was seen by Peter, James, and John, and it really is indescribable what they saw. Trying to explain what happened in the Transfiguration is a difficult thing. The Greek word is where we get that word metamorphosis. It's a form of that, and it denotes a change in form or appearance. So these three disciples saw this happen with Jesus. They were given a glimpse of the unveiled glory of Jesus on the mountain. And Matthew goes on to tell us what happened next. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. So now then, here they are up on the mountain. They're seeing the sight that is beyond anything they've ever seen before. Peter thinking to himself, this is great, Lord. Let's build some tents for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, to dwell so that this may last. This may be your dwelling place. What a sight it is to behold. So the disciples are seeing the sight, and it's great. So why not stay here as long as they can? Here on the mountain, building tents to dwell with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus would be more than just some bros camping on a mountain. It would be dwelling with the very Lord who tabernacled among them. It's relatable to want to be there. But that's not what it was to be. And it's always a bit comical what happens next in the sense of how it happens. Because you can just picture it so well. This whole event in the life of our Lord is so vividly put before us. Matthew writes, he was still speaking, Peter, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, listen to him. So did you catch that? Peter was still speaking, and God interrupted him. God cut him off, and Peter experienced firsthand Psalm 46 when it says, be still and know that I am God. God was sending a message to Peter when he was in the presence of God. Your mouth is to be closed, your ears open. See this one transfigured before you, this one whom you confessed a few days ago to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to him. Because he is indeed the beloved Son of the Father. So Peter went from high to low pretty quickly. But God's good at that. He's in that business of bringing down low, but his purpose is for bringing back up. We know that he tears down in order to build anew. He kills in order to make alive. Because here on this mountain, God is God. Peter isn't. Neither are we. God brought him low but spoke a word of comfort to him. We heard what happened next. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And so God didn't leave Peter low. He didn't leave him and James and John cowering in their fear with their faces down on the mountain. No, Jesus came and he touched them and he said, rise and have no fear. So saints of God, take this to heart what you hear today from this reading from Matthew 17. See these three men who go up on the mountain with Jesus and learn from them and from this account who you are before your Lord. Also see who God is for you and this one Jesus and what he says to you even as he spoke to Peter, James, and John. Because we know all too well how we are tempted, even as Christians who do love the things of God, when our sinful man still is tempted to look around and lose sight of Christ. It's easy to want to look for things which may be glorious and which we want to make our dwelling. Who among us wants to see this life in terms of a call to repentance, where we're daily to die to sin in the fallen world? Wouldn't we rather be taken up on a mountain and see the Lord transfigured? Wouldn't we rather see and find in all of our troubles, sufferings, and crosses we're bearing just to see be simply lifted and taken off of our shoulders in an instant, and we live lives free of suffering and bearing crosses? Wouldn't we like it if we could just build a tent on a mountain and not have to come down in the world and live vocations that call us to sacrifice and love our neighbors, to be by ourselves and not among people? Wouldn't it be nice if we could be the ones speaking and telling God the way things should be? Well, that's what our sinful nature wants. But what does God say? Well, God interrupts those thoughts, and God speaks. And he calls you to listen to him, to look to Jesus, to lift your eyes and see Jesus only. And the epistle reading teaches you this as well as the Holy Spirit inspired St. Peter to write, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So listening to Jesus is hearing him, reading his words, following where he leads. Right before this account, Jesus said at the end of Matthew 16, he told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" So God revealed himself to Peter, James, and John, and he reveals himself to you today as well. So even with those sights that Peter saw with his own two eyes, he tells you there is something more fully confirmed, which is yours even now. You have God's word, and this word teaches and proclaims to you what happened next. So Jesus came down from the mountain, and he headed to another place where people would look and see him. That place was Golgotha, where he was lifted up upon the cross. And at that place, there weren't any voices saying, "Let us build tents." Instead, there were taunts, there were mocking, deriding words, wagging heads, shouts of, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" You see, even as our Lord lived his perfect life in obedience to the will and law of God for us, it's at that place where you see a glory made known to you and for your good. Beholding Jesus in glory and power is understood through the cross. Before the resurrection is death. Before Easter is Good Friday. The crucified Lord is your redemption. And so lifting up your eyes, you see him brought low. You see him brought to nothing. You see him enduring the shame of the cross in your place, obedient unto death. But you see in his death, you're glorified, you're brought high. You see this joyous, cheerful, blessed exchange of him who God for our sake made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the Lord, who is the one who was transfigured on the mount in the reading today. He's the one who died on the cross, was laid in the tomb, And the one who rose again on the third day, confirming all that he had said and done, was complete and is for you. This is the one who Peter rightly confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so the Lord looks upon you today, even as you are here in this place. This is Mount Zion, the church. You enter this place every week from a world that would draw your focus away from Jesus, a world that would have you react and act according to things like fear, anger, uncertainty, retribution, and so many other things. It would have you open your mouths before closing them to hear what the Lord says to you as you are living in this world. And the guidance you see when you turn on your televisions, your computer screens, your phones, or even your own heart, or wherever it may be the case, is far from godly. It wants you to see redemption, healing, and life apart from whom God is and what God has done for you in Christ, and what this means for you now as a baptized child of God in this world who is a new creature. So don't look down. Don't look to yourself. Look to Jesus. And so here you are this morning. And you know what? It's good to be here. Even as Jesus is here right now. Confessing your sin, you bow your head as one who knows what you rightly deserve. Yet what does the Lord do? He comes to you. He touches you as you have been baptized into Christ, as he speaks that word, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." As his scriptures are read and proclaimed, as you kneel at his altar and receive his own body and blood given and shed for you. And all of this, he says, "Rise and have no fear." You lift up your eyes as forgiven people of God. And now, you, rather than seeing and hearing all the voices around you crying out for attention and your gaze, you see only Jesus. Sin, death, the devil, they're all silenced. They're put in their place. And what you behold instead is the Lord crucified and risen for you and the promises he has given you of a future glory to come. Your eyes of faith see that your Lord Jesus is the one whose power is made perfect in weakness and who makes foolish the wisdom of the world, even as he has accomplished your salvation by dying on the cross. Death is destroyed by death. How does that make sense? Well, in our own sinful flesh, it doesn't. But by your God-given faith, it's believed and understood. And so even as you leave this place, the church, each week, knowing Christ and his peace, your hearts and minds have been set on the things of God, the things above. You view this world through the lens of Jesus, the crucified and risen one who has called you his own. So you face suffering, trial, crosses, and even death as ones who know what really speaks forth in all of this. Christ who has overcome the world by his obedient life, his innocent suffering and death. And that's a wonderful thing to cling to, or rather a wonderful God to cling to as you go through this life covered in Christ and what he has fulfilled and accomplished for you. You who have been brought low, but raised up in newness of life. And now, hearing God's word, you do open your mouth and speak. As Christians, you confess and speak forth that word of God which has been placed upon your lips. Your lives are lived in this too as a living sacrifice, having been metamorphosized by God through the Holy Spirit. He uses that similar word in Romans 12. You live and have no fear in this world because, as Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So behold Jesus, and Jesus only. Fight the good fight of faith, knowing that your Lord has already won the day. And so go down from the mountain as those who look to the Lord lifted up in the glory of the cross. Rise each day as a baptized child of God, knowing that with the sign of the cross, knowing you have been marked by one who is the crucified Lord. And have no fear, for the Lord is yours and you are his, and even as he will stand over your grave one day, and he will say, "Rise." And you see what a glorious day that will be, and it will truly be good to be there. On that day, the sight of the transfiguration of the Lord and all of his glory will never be ending. There won't be a need to build tents because the Lord has already prepared a dwelling for you. And so it's good to be here today. And when you raise up your eyes on that day, it will be good to be there forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.